Good morning and welcome to another week of our Bible study series. On Sunday, we were looking at the great story of Noah emerging from the ark from Genesis chapter 8. And so all this week, we're going to continue in the Prism series of Bible studies, looking at this idea of re-emerging. We're going to get on to Genesis chapter 8 tomorrow. But before we do that, we're going to start off this morning with Psalm number 40. And the reason why we're looking at Psalm 40 is because it's all about waiting on God. And we're thinking about how Noah had to wait before he was able to re-emerge into the world after the flood, just as we perhaps have to wait now as we re-emerge into the world with COVID. So the Bible study sheet is available to download on the website, on the blog, just below this video. And we're going to just start with the first part of that Bible study sheet. It's all about re-emerging, as it says. This is week two and re-emerging. And it's setting foot in a pandemic world, how we go back out into the world with God, following God and serving God. And as I said, later on in the week, we're going to look at Genesis 8. But out from God's shelter, no one quite knows what changes the coronavirus experience will bring to our world and future way of life. All of us are taking our first steps into a world in which the pandemic is a reality. Things will return to familiar patterns gradually rather than all at once. And that will be true for the economy, the healthcare, education, working life and social life, and also for church life. On return, everything physical will be just where we left it, but so many of our programs and plans were rudely interrupted and may not be so easy to pick up again. And that's perhaps what we find already as we've been back in church now for two Sundays. Everything physical is there, but things have changed and it's a little bit hard to get back into our routines again. And certainly organisations haven't started back and we're only meeting once on a Sunday at the moment. So to talk about, something to think about, what programs and plans in your congregational's life were interrupted by the coronavirus? And of course, basically everything was interrupted. And interruptions to the way we've always done things are not a bad thing. Sometimes it causes us to have a moment to think again about what we're doing, why, and how we're doing something. And as we re-emerge from a period in which church life as we know it all but stopped, maybe God has something important to teach us. However, we won't put ourselves in a place to see that if we rush back to business as usual. Perhaps a gradual relaxation of restrictions on social distancing and gathering again, along with an understandable nervousness about going back to some of the things we've already done, can give us time to reflect on our core priorities, our future programs and our plans. As it says here, let's have a look at the familiar story of Noah emerging from the ark after the flood in Genesis chapter 8 and reflect on how it might help us come out from our experience of God's sheltering hand to set foot in a different world of church. And we're going to look at Genesis chapter 8 tomorrow. But before we do that, I want us to spend a little moment this morning looking at Psalm 40. And we sang this psalm, or at least we meditated on it, on Sunday morning in our live service and also online. And you can find that to listen to again just below this video. And do take time to do that and maybe listen to some of the other versions of Psalm 40 that are there as well, because sometimes a different version causes us to look at it and hear it in a different way. And in this psalm, the psalmist is waiting on God in verse 1, waiting patiently for the Lord. And I know I've said this a number of times, and I said it on Sunday, but I don't think we can overemphasize this. This waiting upon God is an act of waiting. It's not just sitting back and saying, well, I'll just relax, put my feet up and wait to see what God's going to do. No, it's waiting on God actively, waiting with God for him to act. It's the idea, we've said before, of lingering with God and staying in his presence, listening to him, hearing what he says, looking at the little signs that he gives us and just being with him, waiting patiently. And the psalmist here in Psalm 40 discovers that when he waits patiently for the Lord, then the Lord turns to him, hears his cry. And look at the testimony of the psalmist here. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of mud and mire, and set my feet on a rock. And that's the process that Noah was able to see, that he'd been in the flood, he'd been in the ark, and God lifted him out of that and set his feet on firm land again, and he was able to start living for God again. But even before that, Noah had been living in a world that was full of sin, and it was as if he had sunk down into a muddy mire, and there was no way out, but God lifted him out of that world of sin and has given him a firm place to stand. And then as Noah re-emerged, and we'll see over the next few days, it resulted in worship. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And that's Noah's testimony of how God has been with him and how God has helped him. Many will see in fear and put their trust in the Lord. Noah found favour with God and put his trust in God. And Noah's able to say, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Noah could easily have followed all the other people of the world, but he chose to stand up differently and to follow God. He and his family were the only ones who trusted in God. And now Noah knows the blessing of trusting in God. And that's what we need to see as we go back out into this world where the pandemic is still here and the coronavirus is still here. Very, very easy to slip back into what the rest of the world is doing. But to be truly blessed, we trust in the Lord and we follow the Lord and we accept what he has planned for us. And so therefore, we don't go and we follow the crowd, but we stand up for what the Lord has given to us. And in that whole process of actively going back out into the world, it's important that we still do this waiting in verse 1, that we do this lingering with God, that we keep spending the time with him and realizing what he wants us to do. It'd be very easy now to decide, right, this is what God wants me to do, rush out into the world, then get so busy and so many other things happening that we forget to talk to God again and we forget to return to him. So let's wait upon him and linger in his presence. So let's bow before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who loves to have us in your presence. And yet, Lord, we do so many things to take us away from you. Help us to wait. Help us to linger with you. Help us, Lord, to be in your presence and to find the blessing that comes from you alone. Amen. Welcome to the second part of our Bible study this week for Tuesday, the 15th of September. We're thinking once again about re-emerging into this coronavirus world and how we do that with God at our side, making sure that we do what God wants us to do and we follow his commands. And today we're going to continue our studies and we get to Genesis chapter 8. We were thinking about it on Sunday and you can go back and listen to the message from Sunday again if you just want to refresh your memory of what we talked about. And we're going to revisit some of those themes again today and we're going to look in a little bit more detail at some of them as well. Remember the Bible study sheet? We're moving down that first page today where we're told, first of all, to read Genesis 8. And if you want to go back and listen to Wilfred reading it from Sunday, or you want to open it up and read it yourself, just pause the video now, do that, and then we'll be ready to move on. And as you do it, the instructions here are very helpful. Do so slowly, listen carefully, pay attention to the details, and then reflect on how things feel at different parts of the story. And let the story sink into your soul. And that means maybe reading it and then reading it again and again. It's such a familiar story. It's a story that we tell children, and yet it has such an impact on our adult lives that we perhaps forget that because of all the cartoons that we see and the pictures that we see. So go back, read it, and let it sink into your soul. And then we're looking at this idea of parallels. Line up the story alongside your recent experience of living through the coronavirus pandemic. And then as we look at some of these questions over the next few days, see if you can identify some of the parallels. And then on Wednesday, we've got that opportunity via Zoom to talk about these things a little bit. Now, the Bible is clear that the flood was God's judgment on a sinful world. And this is a specific parallel that we can't really draw for the coronavirus. However, there are many parallels between Noah's experience and ours from what we can learn. And again, you remember whenever we looked at returning and the prodigal son, we saw this idea. Is it punishment or is it God getting our attention? And so we need to realize that the coronavirus is probably God trying to get our attention and wanting us to listen to him. On down the page then, Noah and his family re-emerged from the ark to set foot again on dry land. And this happened gradually. And we saw yesterday from Psalm 40 that we're waiting on God. And here we have this process of waiting. The wind began to blow in verse 1. The rain stopped in verse 2. The waters began to recede in verse 3. And then a raven and a dove are sent out in verses 6 and 12. And here's just those first few verses. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent this wind over the earth and the waters receded. That's the beginning of it. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth, and at the end of the 150 days the water had gone down. 150 days. And on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. We often think just of those 40 days of rain, but it's a much longer period of time that Moses is here with God and trusting in God and relying upon him. How do you think Noah felt while this period of waiting and uncertainty continued? How might that parallel our feelings about a gradual return to life again? And it's probably that idea that Noah and his family didn't know how long this was going to go on for. And they certainly didn't know what was ahead of them whenever they would open the door of the ark and go back out again. But they trusted God. They may even have questioned, is this ever going to end? Even after the sign that the waters had gone down, when the dove didn't return, Noah remained inside. Only 2 months later, God invited him to set foot in the post-flood world. God has his own timing, and it is usually slower than ours. We need to wait. We need to linger. We need to be in his presence. There's those verses that we've just been speaking about. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. It was a long time before then happened. But God had his own timing. God had his own plan. And God knew when they were to come out from the ark again. So why might we be tempted to rush back to business as usual? In our church life, as lockdown restrictions ease, what might we lose by doing so? Well, if we just go back to the way things were, then we've learned nothing. We haven't taken this opportunity. So in this whole process of coming back slowly and re-emerging into the world, we're able to evaluate what's important to us and what's not important. We're able to see what the essence of being church is all about. And it's much, much more than just attending. It's being part of a community, it's being part of God's will, and it's doing it not just as individuals, but doing it together. And so that's something that we need to look at over the next few days. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we re-emerge into this world, we pray that you would help us to draw lessons from Noah, to see, Lord, that you have a timing that is perfect and accurate. and that although, Lord, we're frustrated sometimes by the speed of re-entry into the world and sometimes at the slowness of re-entry, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to re-emerge in your timing and your plan, and that, Lord, as we re-emerge into this world, we would bring hope for the world in your name. Amen. Welcome to our Bible study for Wednesday, the 16th of September. We're continuing with re-emerging into this coronavirus world, and we're looking once again at Genesis chapter 8 together. Remember the Bible study sheet, which can be downloaded, and we're continuing to look at it. And we're looking at the patterns today that we see in Noah's story and how they apply to us. Line up the story alongside your recent experience of living through the coronavirus pandemic, and use the questions below to help identify and talk about some of the patterns for living as followers of Jesus. God repeats the command first given to Adam and Eve to Noah when he re-emerges from the ark to multiply, be fruitful and cultivate life on the earth. And we'll see that in verse 17. The world has been stripped back by the flood, but the core aspects of life are to recommence and continue as before. God says to them, bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so that they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it. And this is the same command that's given to Adam and Eve whenever they're told to name all the animals, whenever they're told to have dominion over those animals, whenever they're told to increase in number upon the earth. And God here has stripped away everything that has got in the way of following him, all the things that have crowded in on lives, and he's brought them back to what his original plan is. All of those who have sinned, all of those who were disobeying and rebelling against God have been destroyed in the flood. And it's now Noah and his family, and they're starting off again as though they were Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Things have changed, obviously. There is still sin in the world. As we see, Noah sins very quickly after coming out of the ark. But they've been given this fresh start. And they're asked to go back and to do what God wants them to do. And that's the challenge for us, that at this new start, as we re-emerge into the world, that we don't just rush back to going to what we always did before, but that we look and see, God, what are my new priorities? How do you want me to live? What is it that is the main thing that you want me to concentrate upon? Because before long, all the other pressures will come back in upon us again. All the demands on our time and our energy will come back. And very quickly, we'll be back to normal before we realise it. So we need to take the time to seek God. What core activities in your congregation's life need to recommence and continue and be pursued with fresh enthusiasm after the coronavirus interruption? What previous activities in church life don't feel so important anymore? Well, it's hard just to know exactly where we're going and what's going to happen. But, of course, the main core activity is our worship. And that's why we've started back with our Sundays. And it's interesting that the government decided very quickly in the relaxation of lockdown that churches would be allowed to reopen again. I mean, we were allowed to reopen from the beginning of July. Now we've waited a couple of months just to make sure that all the procedures were in place, to make sure that everything was safe. But government saw that it was important for people to be able to meet together and to worship God. Now, it might have been nice if government had said that they thought that it was important for people to worship together, and that they thought that it was a need for people to come to God and to trust in God, and maybe even if they had called on the churches to pray for our land, because we need that help. Now, that didn't happen, but it's interesting that before many other aspects of life was opened up, that the church was allowed to. And so worship is primary. It is the priority. And it's what we can be good at. We can look at other churches and we can say to ourselves, oh, well, we can't do that. Oh, we don't have enough people to do that. Oh, we can't be at that. But the one thing that we can do well is to worship, because it's reliant on us coming together with hearts that are open to God and worshipping Him and glorifying Him. The first thing that Noah does when he re-emerges from the ark is to worship by building an altar and making a sacrifice to God, verse 20. And God is pleased with that priority. And that's what we see. Look, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. God is pleased with worship. And if we make that a priority, He will be pleased with our worship. He makes us promise that never again will He destroy the land in this way. And He makes that promise even though He knows that we are sinful and we will continue to sin, and probably things will eventually get back to the way they were before the flood. He still is making the promise. What do we think should have first priority as church life begins to resume? Why? What might that reveal about us? How will we mark our gratitude to God together as we return to church life after the pandemic? And prayer is also mightily important, as well as our worship. Prayer should also be a priority, that we spend time before God. Now, we're not going to meet physically for prayer, but we do have this opportunity to meet via Zoom. And if you can do that, join us. There is something so special about praying with others, or even just being in a room as others are praying. And of course, we can't be in the room. Old habits die hard as I say these things. But we can pray online on this video Zoom. And if you can be part of that, you don't have to say anything. You can just sit and listen. And the blessing of sitting and listening and hearing others pray is incredible. So if you can be part of it, come and see. Then where do we go after our worship and prayer? Well, that's where our priorities need to be sorted out. Our priority of reaching out into the community. How are we going to do that? It's not easy at the moment because we can't bring the community into our buildings. But how can we go out and serve the community? How can we go out with the gospel to the community? How can we make an impact in people's lives? And that's what we need to look at now, because there are so many people who are in need all around us, and we can go out to them because we can't bring them into us at the minute. So let's pray that God would guide us and help us. Lord God, help us to sort out our priorities. Help us, Lord, to worship you in a way that's pleasing. Help us, Lord, to pray, because we recognize that nothing can happen without prayer. But then, Lord, help us work out how we can go out into this community and serve and bring the good news to others. Show us, Lord, the difference that we can make as your followers. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome once again to our Bible study. It's part 4 of Reemerge for Thursday, the 17th of September. And again today, we're looking at Genesis chapter 8. Tomorrow, we're going to look at a different passage. But for now, Genesis chapter 8. Do remember that you can download the Bible study sheet, and we're going to look at this area today of possibilities and perspectives. And something to talk about now. I know you're at home on your own, but it's something that maybe you can discuss with someone else who you know is following along, and you can maybe have a phone conversation and talk about these things. But take a moment to think about the initial impression this story has made upon you as you read it, and the discussion that you've just had. Well, we're not meeting for discussion, but maybe on Wednesday we had a little discussion on Zoom. What sticks in your mind? What do you particularly sense God prompting you to think about more deeply? Pause and take a moment on your own or share with someone else what God is saying to you and your congregation from your reflections on this story. Again, it's to remember that this story of Noah is not just for children, but it impacts our lives hugely as we see this man and his family coming out into this new world. What can we learn from them? And as we're told here, prepare to share with others what impression God has made upon your heart. Do your best to put this into words. Maybe it will be the same as others. Maybe it will be different. Pay attention to the conversation that is about to start so that God can deepen and widen the impact of his word. And that's a conversation, not just in the context of meeting and Bible study, but it's a wider conversation that we'll talk about in session and committee and congregation and on Sundays. And how we live that out. So how do we go forward with these pathways to pursue that are set here for us? Well, we can think and we can live and we can pray. Thinking, what has reading this story against the background of your experience of the period of coronavirus pandemic caused you to think about again? And perhaps you've looked at this story in a whole new way over these past few days. That Noah's experience has become your experience, and you can realize some of the problems that Noah faced and the challenges that he faced. Imagine being in that ark for such a long time. I mean, at least during lockdown, we were allowed out for an hour a day to walk. Whereas there's Noah and he's stuck and he can't get out. And yet he's able to rely upon God and he comes closer to God, as it were, throughout this whole experience as well. Maybe that's been your experience, that during the quietness you've had to rely upon God and you've found him in a deeper way through all of this living. In what specific ways will that make you change the way you live as a follower of Jesus? How might it reshape an aspect of your congregational's life? I think one of the things that has changed for me in this whole process is the fact that because we're only meeting once on a Sunday, I'm focusing on one theme. And in these Bible studies, we've got the opportunity to develop that theme a little bit more. I think in the past, we had a morning service and then a different evening service and then a different midweek Bible study. And there were all these different competing themes going on and thoughts. And we just brushed over each one quickly. Whereas now we've got the time to hear on a Sunday and to spend time with God, but then to develop that during the week. And you can take this at your own time and your own speed. You can watch as many of these videos or as few of them as you want. You can look at the wee extra ones that are included, or you can skip over them. Whatever fits into your lifestyle now, there's an opportunity. And rather than there just being that one opportunity on a Wednesday evening to gather for Bible study, which didn't always suit everyone and some people didn't want to come out at night, you've now got this opportunity to do these things at your own speed and your own time, but we're doing them together and we're growing together. So that's been one of the things that has come out of this for me. It's challenged me greatly as to the depth that we can go into, and hopefully God is speaking to you in similar ways as well. And then we're told to pray here. Pray together for strength to follow through on what God has taught each person and the implications for your life together as a congregation. And then there is a little section at the bottom of the final page of the Bible study, which reminds us of the promise of Genesis 8:22, where God says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. And then there's a prayer which we're going to pray as we end today. Lord of fresh start, thank you for how you provide for us in ripening harvests, rotating seasons, rising and setting sun. None of this happens quickly. Each emerges in your time. As we set foot again into a different world of church, teach us to let you set the pace so that you can learn, so that we can learn the lessons of grace that you want us to embrace. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to our fifth and final part of our Reemerge Bible study for this week. It's Friday, the 18th of September, and we've been looking together at Genesis chapter 8, the story of Noah reemerging into the world. But today we're going to look at a psalm together, Psalm 69. And I was trying to find a psalm that Noah could have used in his worship. I know Noah is before the psalms were written, but if he'd had the psalm book with him, what would he have turned to? What could he have used in his worship of God? And I came to Psalm 69 and thought, well, there's a lot of themes there that are relevant to Noah, but there are also a lot of themes that are relevant to us. You might want to pause now and read all of the psalm together. We're just going to look at a few of the verses. You might want to listen to some of the videos as well about Psalm 69, which will perhaps give you a better understanding of what the psalm's about. But the first four verses of the psalm, you can almost imagine Noah saying this to God, either singing it or praying it to God, and perhaps we can as we reemerge into this world as well. He begins in verse 1, "Save me, O God." This is a cry for help from the psalmist, "for the waters have come up to my neck." And here, the psalmist is thinking about the idea of drowning. It in whatever is happening in his life, it is as though he is drowning. And he's not going to be able to survive in all these things that are happening to him much, much longer. Because the water's rising and rising, and if it rises anymore, then that is the end of him. He says, "I sink in the miry depths where there's no foothold." There's no way that he can get himself out of this. There's no way that he can protect himself. "I've come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me." And of course, physically, that is what was happening to Noah. But for us, is that not what was happening maybe before the coronavirus, where there were all sorts of things in our lives that were dragging us down and dragging us away from God? There was so much busyness, so many things other than God in our lives, and we were sinking, and there was no foothold. There seemed to be no way out of it, and God suddenly put the brakes on and caused us to stop and to reevaluate and to look at our lives as we reemerge. The psalmist says, "I am worn out calling for help." He's crying to God, and he can't cry anymore. "My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for God." He's looking all around, and he just cannot get to God. He just can't work out how he is supposed to change things, how he's supposed to get out of this situation into a new one. "Those who hate me without reason outnumbered the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies without cause, those who seek to destroy me. I am forced to restore what I did not steal." And you can think of Noah, and Noah saying that his enemies are all around, because the world is full of people who are enemies of God, and therefore they're enemies of Noah as well. And they outnumber him because Noah and his family are the only ones. Everyone else is about to be destroyed because of their sin. "But I pray to you, O Lord, in the time of your favour, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters." It is wonderful that God is able to do this. He's able to bring us salvation. He is able to help us. He is able to pick us up. And so we trust in him today, and we pray to him that in the midst of all this uncertainty, he would rescue us and bring us salvation, that he would deliver us. And the psalmist goes on, "Do not let the floodwaters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, out of the goodness of your love. In your great mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Redeem me because of my foes." This is a heartfelt plea from the psalmist that only God can solve the problem, that there's no other way out of this. Without God, he's drowning in the depths, but with God, he's surviving, he's redeemed, he is being rescued. And that's what we need to remember as we reemerge. If we try to do it on our own, then we are sinking fast. But if we do it with God, he'll be with us and he will help us. And he will guide us. So this idea of re-emerging is going to be difficult. It's going to take time. It's going to take patience. But we can do it with God, and he promises to be with us. So let's bow before him now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you, Lord, for all your goodness to us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the one who gives us so much. Rescue us now. Be with us, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.